We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Anything that we do that you might have missed, well, you've already downloaded the Odyssey app and you favorited 95.7 The Game, and that means you can access it anytime you need it or want it. Powered by DuckDuckGo, privacy simplified. So, one of the elements of the Raheem Mostert injury that I think bothered me the most is the way some fans reacted to his injury by sending death threats via his wife's DMs. And I want to talk about privacy being overly simplified for that group, and it needs to I think, not be. And I've been thinking all show, because we've already done a little bit of a segment on this, I thought, what should happen to a fan who reaches out and threatens a man's wife with a death threat because he was so arrogant he decided to injure himself two plays into a football season? Like, what should really happen to that fan? It is a very 2020-21 term, doxing. That means something that was supposed to be anonymous is now put out with your phone number attached to it. You've really been revealed. I know where you live now, that sort of thing. Do I have that right? I'm not hip on all the kid jargon on the internet, but I think that's what doxing pretty much is. And if I'm Jed York, I'm throwing my muscle around the room a little bit on this one. I'm walking into Twitter and I'm saying, I want to know who these people are. I want you to tell me who they are. And this is, you know, I guess you're a private company. I want to know who they are. Or let's see if anyone was actually dumb enough to attach their true name and identity to these things. I bet very few cowards got the gumption to do that. But what I would like, and obviously this isn't perfect, because you can't prevent a person from watching whatever they want to watch on TV in their own homes, but I would like basically Jed York to come on out and ban these people for life from ever coming into his stadium ever again. It's very hard to enforce, but just the gesture. Let us know who these people are. Let us know who they are. Like, did you see the video of the woman in Nebraska who was coughing all over people in a Whole Foods? Well, 2 days later, she got fired. And the people who are going out of their way to be jackholes because they think that there is some sort of element of I can be as disgusting as I want to be because it's been encouraged by the people who I respect and I follow. There needs to be something that happens to these people. I'm about consequences. I'm not about consequence-free living anymore. And I just think that there's got to be a way to identify some of these people and do away with them, publicly humiliate them, or let everyone know that, you know, the things that you think you're saying anonymously, it ain't so anonymous now, bud. We know who you are, and we're going to point at you and say, this is a scumbag who doesn't deserve the opportunity to participate in decent society. Threatening a man's wife because he was injured in a football game? Disgusting.
Yeah, but I think there are remedies already on the books, but they simply should be followed through, which is find who they are and arrest them because it's a crime. And then prosecute them as though you have no intention of letting this go with a fine. You know, let them see the inside of a jail cell. You know, even if it's overnight, you know, follow the law as it's written, because the law is there to be obeyed. So and make them obey the law.
Yes, and I fully agree. And by the way, because as we have pointed out several times, these people are cowards. It's not going to take too many nights in a jail cell for just one or two people, for a lot of other people to be too afraid to send these horrifying messages. It's only happening because they feel totally confident in their anonymity. So that's something that can be changed.
It would be bad enough to just say, your husband cost me a starter in my fantasy league, and I hate you for it. That is not a jailable offense.
No.
If you threaten someone, you threaten the safety of a man's wife. It's just, it's a level of cowardice that is easily identified and should be dealt with. I mean, I'm a big believer that an ass kicking keeps you honest. And a lot of people get to go through their life without the threat of a single ass kicking because they don't even get up from their keyboards to confront anyone or be confronted by anyone. It's disgusting, and it's got to stop. It's just, it's got to stop. And the truth is, these companies who allow these platforms could stop it. They actively choose not to. And it's disgusting because so many of these companies are based in San Francisco, and being decent to a neighbor shouldn't be a foreign concept to people who live here. So I don't know what can be done, but I'd like to brass knuckle all of them to their toothless. Like, to me, that'd be fair. Forget the night in jail because you leave the next morning. How about a night getting punched in the face and you got no teeth left? I'd be all about that. Raheem Mostert should get 3 minutes in a room with all these guys.
After he heals up.
After he heals up from the knee surgery. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, let's not put Raheem Mostert in any sort of violent situations, but maybe he can like hire a proxy to beat the crap out of them.
Sure. How about send Trent Williams? Let him handle it. Hey, you were going to protect me anyways, Trent. So can you do this for the family? By the way, I saw that Trent Williams is getting an awful lot of love from your Pro Football Focus Week 1 grades. Cameron Hayward had a 95.3, whatever that means. Chandler Jones, how did anyone have a better Pro Football Focus single game grade than he did? The guy was unbelievable. He had a 93.8. You don't have to go down too far to find Max Crosby of the Raiders, who won a thriller last night. We've talked so much about it, but we're going to get back to it because what the Raiders did on Monday Night Football was unbelievable. And the broadcast that the brothers Manning put out was really unique. Yannick Ngakoue was also on this list. Coming in on this list, Trent Williams. Trent Williams had a monster game. The entire Niners offensive line had a very good game in Detroit. Now, is that who they are? Is that who they will be against a better opponent? And say what you will about who the Eagles were last year. The Eagles bullied the 49ers in the trenches last year in their win. And we'll see if that happens again. And tomorrow, you know who we're going to ask about it? Alex Mack is going to be joining us for our first conversation inside the 49ers locker room. And we're looking forward to talking to him. You normally don't get a little opportunity to, you know, talk to a center. It's the least glamorous, most important position in football. But we are going to talk to him. He's been around the league more than once, and it's his first go-around with the Niners. We're going to ask what he is adding to this team. And I do know for a fact, it's provable, like almost by metrics, that offensive linemen make some of the best interviews I've ever done. So I'm really looking forward to talking to Alex Mack tomorrow.
Well, I mean, they are, in fact, the best interviews. And this has been true for as long as I've been doing that, which is 93 years. And, yeah, I mean, he was a great talker in Cleveland. And I know the people who worked there said that he was a daily go-to. So I'm profoundly unsurprised by that.
I was profoundly. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Matt.
Well, I was just going to say that's like one of the great rules of sports media is offensive linemen are the best talkers on the team.
What I was profoundly surprised by was Ray's reaction to the Manning Brothers broadcast. It happened on ESPN2 last night. watching the Peyton Manning, the Eli Manning brotherhood basically play out as if they were sitting on my own couch and talking through a game. Ray, it felt like a gimmick. It felt like it was going to be a gimmick. It was one of the more illuminating things that I have seen on my television in terms of sports in a long, long time. They were real. There was veiled disgust in some of the things that they were seeing. It was funny. It was casual. It was nuanced. There was so much I liked about it. I was sure today you were going to tell me all the things that you didn't like or you didn't watch it, but it even grabbed you too. And that is a hard bullseye to hit.
It was unscripted. That's the point. Because nothing ruins TV more than people who work in TV. Because they will overthink everything. And if something goes well, they will fight with each other to figure out a way to A, get credit for it, and then B, to quote, make it better, end quote. This needs to be left alone for as many times as they do it. It needs to be as unstructured and as arrogance and pre-program free as possible, because that's the way it'll get ruined, if it does get ruined. It'll be when people who aren't the Mannings decide, we know better how to present you than you do. Because at that point, it'll be done. Until then, you may as well enjoy it, because it is a rare moment in a self-involved, hyper-arrogant league like the National Football League, where they just get out of the way. It's like the first couple of years of Hard Knocks, where they just got out of the way. And it turned out to be a very effective tool for explaining football. And it turns out that if you let smart people be smart, they'll be smart.
Yeah, and Peyton will be incredibly charismatic. And that's part of the key to this, too, is like Peyton just is funny and clever and, of course, brilliant when it comes to football. Like, I don't know how many guys could hold down that lead spot on a broadcast like that, but he's perfect. And the fact that he happens to have a brother who's probably going to go to the Hall of Fame as well, much to my chagrin, just what they really got here, more than anything the NFL created successfully, is the NFL got incredibly lucky.
Well, last night, I mean, how do you help me paint my masterpiece? Give me that football game. Yep. You know, I mean, good God, what a Monday Night Football game. It was one of the single most Raidery games I've ever seen, with the exception is they won. Raiders don't win Raidery games. That's what makes them Raidery games. There is a level of incompetence and mistakes that get stacked on top of each other that even has the most diehard face-painted, spike-wearing Raider fan going to the parking lot going, my God, again? That game last night, you had big plays, you had huge mistakes, and you had midfield handshakes before they were asked to keep playing. The circumstances under which that game ended, coming up short of scoring, a goal line botched hard count. What are you doing, Derek Carr? An interception after moving back 5 yards. And now the Raiders are absolutely going to lose because Tucker, who just sent this sucker to overtime, Carson sent it to overtime. But Tucker, who looked like he win the game, they're definitely going to drive down and win this game. Nope. Carl Nassib makes the play of his football life, stripping Lamar Jackson. Raiders fall on the ball, and then all of a sudden, do you got it, Grandy? Hit me with the Derek Carr game-winning heave-ho. What a throw. What a broken play that he got to take advantage of. It was ridiculous.
Hope you're having as much fun as we are. What a ball game here tonight. Get a throw. Drake picked up the pressure all alone. Is Zay Jones, and he will prance into the end zone for the touchdown and the victory in overtime for the Raiders. This celebration is for real.
Steve Levy on ESPN. Again, I wasn't even watching the actual Monday Night Football broadcast. I don't know how good Lewis Riddick, who I really do like, and was it Greasy, does it with him now?
Brian Greasy.
Yeah, Brian Greasy. I don't even know how good or poorly that went, because other than the play-by-play that we just shared with you, that's all I caught because I was watching the Brothers Manning broadcast. But it was a wild game. And if you were in that building, either rooting for the Ravens, the Raiders, or really were just there to be part of the opening night party in Las Vegas, that's one of the that is the greatest football game you will ever go to in your life. You will never get a football game that ends like that ever again in your life. It was amazing. It was Disney-like, the goofiness at the end.
Well, it was so bizarre that you're at a disadvantage if you're at the game. You needed to see all the ways that that deteriorated and repeated and rerun over and over again, because just the interception alone, you just go, how did that happen? You need to see it three times. You need to see the confused look on Daniel Carlson's face when he's being called away from the kicking net. Hey, get your ass out in the field. We need you to kick a field goal in about 4 seconds. You know, the level of pie fighting, you know, as much as you might have enjoyed being there, you needed to see it on your own big screen to make sense of it.
Well, they got a pretty big screen, so my guess is people saw what they needed to see. But I will agree that this was an incredible game to be on your couch for, not just because of the Manning broadcast, but because you do get all those different angles. When a game defies belief to this level, you want to look at it sort of as many times and from as many different angles as you can.
And the Peyton Manning's hardly veiled disgust with some of the stuff that he saw, with the interest and the it was amazing. It was amazing. Someone's like, Damon, you're the biggest hater. That was an amazing game, even with all the mess. Don't drink. Are you listening to the segment I'm doing? I'm telling you that it was incredible. And what made it incredible and memorable were the mistakes that they overcame, including a timeout called with none left that moved them back when it looked like they were in game-winning field goal range that led to the Hail Mary that won the game. It was insane. I'm not hating on this. That's the best moment the Raiders have had since they've left the city of Oakland, period. Full stop.
It's the kind of game that you would expect to see if you replace the two coaching staffs with 40 people who had never seen football.
Somebody says Allegiant Stadium, a major upgrade over the dump that is Levi's Stadium. Look, Levi's Stadium's new enough where it can't be called a dump. I don't like it. And Allegiant Stadium blows it out of the frickin' water. There's no doubt. Allegiant Stadium is amazing. Like the gaslit torch that they had for Al at the Coliseum was embarrassing. The thing looked like an overhead heater that you'd have sitting in a bar on Chestnut Street. I mean, it was the pathetic, most pathetic looking eternal torch I've ever seen, okay? What they've got now, that it looks like an Olympic LED torch on the, I mean, it was awesome. That stadium is awesome. I'm going to a game there. Period. End of story. There is absolutely no doubt I will be there. Not this year, probably, but soon. And so when I'm allowed to go to Vegas because my kids aren't screaming at me, I will go.
Oh, so when you're 60.
Yeah, at least 18 years from now.
Well, also, though, for the guy so anxious to brag about Allegiant Stadium, like, aim higher, man. Say it's better than SoFi. Like, the Soldier Field got a toilet bowl put on it, and I'd still rate it above Levi's. Calm down. Like, you know, Allegiant is the hottest, newest thing. You got to do better than it's a better place than Levi's.
I mean, the only thing that you can accurately condemn Levi's for is that it was not good when it was new. And that's the real condemnation. It's that this was inadequate the day they brushed away the styrofoam peanuts.
They left Candlestick, which was clearly the fourth best stadium in the division, to move into a brand new billion-dollar fourth-best stadium in their own division. And, oh, by the way, speaking of divisions, we kind of went over this yesterday. Like, what do you think you know after week one? Thanks to the Raiders win last night. Not only did the NFC, because the NFC West finished playing before Monday Night Football, the NFC West, a perfect 4-0 to open up the season. The AFC West, a perfect 4-0 to open up the season. So what do we know after week one? The West is the best. I mean, I'll say that right now. The West is the best. I think your Super Bowl could come out of those two divisions without a doubt, like easily. I expect it almost, the Super Bowl to come out of those divisions. There are multiple playoff teams coming out of these divisions, and it's fantastic. We got some other things that I want to get to that I think I know after week one, but that was the cherry on top of a Sunday of an awesome week one in football. Like, say what you want, man. Football is heroin. We're all addicted to it. And sometimes you get, you know, like really smacked up. That was like an overdose, an overdose of awesome football all weekend long. It was unbelievable. It was just A plus everywhere you looked. A lot of A plus performances. Even teams that played poorly played well in some instances. It was something else. Football, you win again. I mean, there's a lot wrong with football. There's a lot wrong with the NFL. There's a lot wrong with some things that go into the soup of that sport for sure. The result, good gumbo. Very good gumbo.
And at least a little bit of that was the fact that 12 of the 16 underdogs covered. It basically, you know, what you found out is, with only a couple of exceptions, the teams you think are magically elite also have their vulnerabilities, which makes them more interesting.
Yeah, I'll buy that. We always like underdogs.
I got five things that I think I know after 1 week of football. Can I share them with you?
Please.
Three. We'll see how you do after that.
Okay, fair enough. So my first one is one that you've already agreed to, so I think I'm at least clearing one hurdle here. And I didn't write this down until this morning. The Brothers Manning Show is the best new way to watch football. When they're doing it, I'll be watching it from now on. ABC has a problem. Monday Night Football, well, ESPN has a problem. The show on the other channel's better than the actual show. I mean, what are you going to do when the Manning broadcast starts to outrate, if it would, the actual Monday Night Football broadcast with Reese Davis and Louis Riddick and Greasy? Steve Levy, not Reese Davis. Sorry.
Yeah. How dare you?
Then they'll make more money. That's the thing. That part of the system's rigged, too. It's that if that was on another network, if Nickelodeon had that game like they had the SpongeBob game, it'd be different. But ESPN and ESPN2 basically feed into the same thing. So they'll laugh their ass off. They won't have to move the Manning game. They'll just go, we'll get paid for that too.
Yeah, I don't know that that's really how they see it though, right? Like, the network means more than the second ESPN, and I don't know that it's like, if,
well, it's all ESPN.
Well,
I
mean, the Mannings,
Monday Night Football isn't even on ABC anymore, is it?
No, it is now, actually. I think it's ABC and ESPN, I believe. But even though they're all owned by the same company, like, I'm not sure if the Manning broadcast started rating higher, they could just be like, oh, no big deal. We'll just start selling the ESPN2 commercials for the ABC money. I don't know that it really. Well, if they thought it would be bigger, they'd put it on ABC, right? Like, that's...
You're going to have... this is where the network PR person comes in and does that Monday morning email. The combined audience across the ESPN family of platforms is the biggest audience in the history of sports. There's no doubt that that's the way it's officially going to go. All right. So there's one thing I think I know. Second thing. Andy Dalton completely sucks.
Yeah.
Completely. Not kinda, not a little. There is no there now, much less future there. There's no present. Andy Dalton is afraid to throw the ball more than 15 yards down the field. You go ahead and look at Allen Robinson's route tree. I don't think he ran 25 yards all night. I mean, it was gross. Matt Nagy needs to be fired, and Justin Fields needs to start instantly, period. The Andy Dalton experiment should be over now, right now. Not by the end or the beginning of next year. I mean, by the end of my sentence, he should be offered to the Washington football team. What do you want? Do you want this bum to help you out? We'll give you a conditional seventh rounder.
There is no seventh round.
Whatever. Just get him out of Chicago.
I think I don't know the right way to say this because you're not wrong, but you're being unfair to Andy Dalton because this is not his fault. Like, you're right, he's worthless. He provides zero value, but that anyone who watched him last year could have told you that. And yet, and look, there was a time when Andy Dalton was the best thing available to the Bears in the offseason, but that changed. And trotting him out there is an absurdity. It's an absolute
loser.
Absurdity.
They put him in a situation where the only options he had was to fail a little or fail a lot. And I'm not trying to defend Andy Dalton. I'm just looking at what I remember of that game and how little the Bears do with what talent they have. And it's basically saying, okay, you're not our quarterback of the future, but to make sure you understand that, we're going to tie both your hands behind your back. Maybe you can head the ball down the field. Good luck to you.
I mean, it was truly a pathetic scene to witness. It was disgusting.
If Matt Nagy had been the head coach of the Seattle Seahawks, he would have started Matt Flynn over Russell. It's got to end.
You can't. There's no words for it. The everyone needs to be fired, including Virginia. I can't with this anymore. I can't. Yeah. I can't live my life like this.
There's one word for it. Traditional.
I hate you.
I'm sorry. I mean, you're standing next to a burning dumpster, and you're asking me not to notice that there's black smoke coming out of the dumpster, and that this has been Chicago's eternal flame since Sid Luckman retired.
Yes, and as a caring coworker, I expect you to do exactly that, Ray, and pretend that reality is not reality for my sanity's sake during football season. It's important.
That's pretty messed up, folks.
I'm going to say this. They haven't had a quarterback since 7 years before I was born. And I'm 109.
Sid Luckman, everybody. Write that name down.
At some point, I mean, you won't have to. He's in the Hall of Fame. He was considered the best quarterback in football through 1950. So, it's not like he's a bum, but he looks all the better given the cavalcade of slobs that they've trotted out there since.
Lucas has proved true what we said about the first thing I noticed about the ESPN PR is going to put out he just sent me a tweet saying that ESPN Monday night season opening Ravens Raider megacast draws a massive audience. The Monday Night Football with Peyton Manning and Eli garners a strong alternate telecast viewership as well. They're calling it a combined 15.3 million viewers, Monday Night Football's most watched week one game since 2013, up 42%, 17%, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Okay.
Well said.
Thank you. Third point. Aaron Rodgers is done.
Oh.
Not as a quarterback, but with the Green Bay Packers. I mean, that is a one-foot-out-the-door performance. Now, we'll see if he can go ahead and get it back. The Lions are coming up. That's the next Monday Night Football game. But for Aaron Rodgers to score 3 points, he would have had a better quarterback rating spiking the ball on every down than he finished with. There is this guy ain't in love with the sport of football right now. There's nothing about him that is passionate to be a Green Bay Packer. And I think that's a kiss of death. He was 15 of 28 for 133 yards, no touchdowns, and two interceptions. Two interceptions for Aaron Rodgers in one game would be like anyone else throwing five or six or seven interceptions in one game. Don't believe me? In his 2020 MVP campaign, he threw five interceptions all year. He had four in 2019. He had two in 2018. Aaron Rodgers wants out of this marriage. He's trying to stick around for the kids, but he wants out of the marriage. That guy seems to be completely disinterested in being Aaron Rodgers, Green Bay Packer. We'll see if I'm done. Anyone who's picking the Packers to win that division right now, I don't know. I seriously don't know. Well, now, you know, look, by the way, as someone who did grow up a Bears fan, I've said that a couple times in my life and have been proven very, 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 one more just for emphasis, very wrong many times. But I've never seen a man who, I mean, he looks like he'd rather be crab fishing in Dutch Harbor. Like, he doesn't even bother shaving anymore. That's how interested he is in coming up to work.
I don't disagree about Aaron Rodgers, but you've seen the rest of the division, right?
Yeah. So, like, by default, they're the best of the worst because of just him. I don't know if he can cover. I don't know if he can apply that makeup anymore. I don't know.
I would reserve judgment until Monday night at least.
Yeah. Somebody called, Aaron Rodgers called up James Harden and said, so exactly how do I go about leaving town? It looks like that. He looks like he's just donezo.
He looks unhappy. I think actually, though, I'm not disagreeing on Aaron Rodgers at all, but I got to say, I think that game was as much about the Saints as it was about the Packers. We knew the Packers' offensive line was injured, and I think the Saints just played really well.
They did. Aaron Rodgers played the worst game of his entire life.
No doubt. And he looked miserable. That's real.
I got a real simple formula. Look good, feel good, play good. That didn't look good. It doesn't feel good. And I don't know if it's going to play good.
You should never underestimate the Dr. Feelgood properties of the Detroit Lions. If you see anything remotely close to that after this weekend, then I will back your play entirely.
Agreed.
But if they do what I think they will do, which is win 38-3, I think we have to reassess our reassessment.
So I'm through three things I think I know. May I continue, Ray? Have I thoroughly impressed you enough?
We got 8 minutes. Make it sing.
You got it. Arizona is going to be a huge problem. A huge problem.
Yep.
Who crashed the party? Arizona crashed the party. Who peed in the punch bowl? Arizona. Well, I'm getting an echo out of nowhere in my ear. Whatever that button you just pushed, don't push it anymore. Arizona's going to be a problem. They blew out the Titans. Kyler Murray might have the best arm in football. Whatever you're doing now, keep doing that because that's working. There you go. Don't talk to me. I can't even hear you. I don't know who you're talking to. Okay, I'm just going to keep going. Chandler Jones goes full Derek Thomas. Arizona allowed 58 yards to Derrick Henry. I understand they got down early, so they went away from the run game. You hold Derrick Henry to 58 yards on three carries, I'm impressed. I mean, like, that's who he is. So Arizona might be the biggest problem in the NFL. You might have heard a rumor about coming. I think they're coming. I think Arizona's coming, everyone. Look out.
Again, I need to see more from them because they are the Cardinals. And their cardinalhood has won the test of time. Let's see them do it again, and let's see them do it again after that. And I'm not downgrading Kyler Murray at all, but I've been through this dance with this team since 1960. And other than one Super Bowl, which they could have won, they haven't sniffed even a conference championship game. They've been profoundly bad for decade upon decade. So let's see him do it again.
Well, but just to be clear, you're not saying they're headed for the conference championship, are you, Damon? I mean, you're saying they're just maybe better than we thought, and a team that's going to give the Niners a problem when they face them, right?
Yeah. I mean, like Arizona, if they swept the Niners, I would not be shocked.
Right. And if we're just saying the Arizona Cardinals are a problem on Sunday, I'm 100% in agreement with that. I don't know how far they go this year, but it's not like they were terrible last year, right? They were a 500 football team and a young one. And some of those young pieces led by Kyler Murray, but also some of those defensive pieces, like they look like a young team coming of age to be a really good team. So I'm buying in, and I just don't believe in the idea that franchises are cursed or something. When franchises get good players and decent coaching, they can get good.
Well, the Cardinals have avoided either one or both of those things for longer than I've been alive. And I think there are other teams you can say this about. I don't think it's predestined, but I think over and over again, when you have a choice to make and you make the wrong one, there's a lesson in that. So until they show me that they're not that, they're that.
Twice since 2007, they have acquired good players and good coaches and had strings of several good years and, in fact, playoff appearances in a row. So, you know, again, you don't have to win the Super Bowl to be tough to play on Sundays.
Kyler Murray is the best player they've had since Kurt Warner at quarterback. I mean, it's just he is very good, and he hadn't even started running yet. So my last point is this. A guy who's not going to run at all but is going to throw it everywhere. Matthew Stafford just had the highest passer rating of his career. I thought that would happen at some point in time this year, but the fact that it happens in week one and he looks like he has been sitting in McVay's system and on McVay's couch and living with him in a film room for the better part of 6 years after just four quarters of football, I would also like to file that under. That's going to be a problem. That's John Dickinson, I'm stealing your line. That's going to be a problem. It's going to be a problem. If McVay and Stafford are that good week one, gush. And I'll tell you, Khalil Mack is the best player who is likely to pull a disappearing act you'll see in football. Isn't he? I mean, that guy is either taking over a game or not appearing in one. Like, there's very little middle ground.
And I get that, too, because the Bears, they talk it and they never walk it. I mean, just he was hard to find the other night. But in fairness, I think one of the things that you can do to him is put two good offensive linemen on him and basically dare the rest of that defensive line to win the game for you. And that's what happened, it seems to me, on Sunday night, which is they made Khalil Mack the focus of everything they wanted to work around. And they did it.
Yeah, Collinsworth talked about it. They specifically avoided Khalil Mack all night long, and it worked because the rest of that Bears defense stinks on ice. And while you're correct that Matthew Stafford had a great game and maybe we shouldn't have expected that so early, I'm not totally buying in until I see them do it against the team that has even one cornerback worth a dime.
So there you go. There's my list. Five little things
the
I think
stink,
I know after
man.
Week
I'm
one.
I'm so angry.
Yeah.
It just makes me angry.
Look, it's been a fascinating week of football. And now as we start to, you know, turn our attention to what's coming up next week, this is one of the most important week, I think, of Kyle Shanahan and Brandon Ayuk's relationship we're going to see. I think it's going to be fascinating to see how he is involved, or other side of the coin, how he isn't involved in week two when all eyes are on that. Like we were talking about yesterday, it feels like only one of three things can be true. He's not as good as Kyle thought he would be, or Shanahan isn't doing a good enough job coaching him up, or he's in the doghouse because of personality reasons. And that means normally with Shanahan, we're getting close to the beginning of the end because Shanahan just does not have an awful lot of love for young wide receivers, even, I guess, a productive one. And he can talk about Trent Sherfield outplaying him and so on and so forth. There is an investment in Brandon Ayuk that needs to be catered to and cared for a little bit more than he seems to be catered to or caring for it at this particular time. And when we come on back, because we've got to take a real quick break, we're going to get into this and what we expect to see and how we think that relationship goes. By the way, they get to check into a hotel and they need to sit down and smoke them peace pipe. And I think it's very important that that happens. Damon Ratto and Kolsky here on 95.7 The Game. Remember, tune in every Monday from 6 to 7 for Sean Salisbury and our man Lone Neal for a jam-packed hour of football from two former NFL players presented by Livermore Casino, located on First Street in Livermore, offering Vegas-style blackjack, three-card poker, baccarat, Texas Hold'em, the Tri-Valley's place to play in downtown Livermore. Play responsibly. Damon Ratto and Kolsky, 95.7 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Damon Ratto and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
Thanks so much for joining us today. Fun show, good show. Wrapping up an incredible week one of football. There is no doubt about it. Matt, you were talking about how maybe the Saints are that good. Maybe they are. You might be right. But boy, today they got some bad news. The Saints, ESPN reporting that they got a COVID outbreak. The Saints spent a couple of days in Florida, and they've got 8 COVID positives. 8 COVID positives. Because remember, the game was moved to Jacksonville, and right now Florida is basically America's leading COVID petri dish. Saints coach Sean Payton said that during the summer, his team's coaching staff and personnel staff were 100% vaccinated. I hope he was telling the truth. If that's the case, they've got an abnormal, almost mathematically not good number of outbreaks, because 6 offensive coaches, 1 player, and a nutritionist are on the list, according to a source. The Saints are in Charlotte this Sunday, and we know that the NFL will move heaven and earth to make sure that game goes off, and with only 1 player testing positive, if that's all that happens, that's easy to fix. But if this were to grow, and I'm sure everyone's going to be monitoring this leading up to that game, it's going to be pretty fascinating to watch that go down. Ray, turn your mic on. God, it's a...
I was so close.
Could you have Ray turn his mic on, please?
I think they'd play if all 53 caught it. I think the NFL would talked about, you'll forfeit if you can't field a team. No, they won't. They'll bring out Louisiana Monroe, and they'll just say, guys, this is your big chance to play on Saturday and Sunday. Tell your friends.
Like Bishop Sycamore, we're going to have you play twice in a week.
Yeah, it's funny. The ESPN was embarrassed about booking Bishop Sycamore, but I feel like the NFL would do it cheerfully.
Oh, in a heartbeat. In fact, they're probably on the phone now. You know, it just it wouldn't be hard to get the number from ESPN. I'm sure they've still got it.
There's no doubt, though, with only one player on that list, that game's going off.
100%.
But if I'm a player and I got to go to Florida, I am so pulling a hamstring on Wednesday.
To get back to Kyle Shanahan and Brandon Ayuk at the end of today's show, like, I guess my question would be for Kyle, like, is this player still talented enough for you to not want to ruin this relationship? Because it feels like he kind of wants to ruin the relationship a little bit. Maybe I'm reading too much into it, and he gets plenty of snaps, and nothing is to be worried about after the Eagles game. But treating him like the fourth wide receiver, you know, like, you want to say, well, what if Trent Sherfield and Debo are better? Fine. If Mohamed Sanu is better than Brandon Ayuk, then Kyle Shanahan, the coach, needs to fire Kyle Shanahan, the general manager.
I think you are overthinking this one. This just feels to me like a guy who missed a meeting or has been casual about getting into meetings on time. Because if he really wanted to make an example of him, he wouldn't have activated him. He would have just said, you're superfluous to needs.
Right to DEFCON 1, Ray.
I understand that. But I think the intermediate step for a guy who's late for meetings, especially at this stage of his career, is you sit out a quarter. And the fact that they didn't target him after that could be just circumstances. Because I don't think Jimmy Garoppolo would sign on to be part of the punishment parade. That's what it feels like to me. And I think we'll find out that that's probably what it was. And that Kyle Shanahan and Brandon Ayuk will have their meeting, and they'll be fine.
Yeah, I lean towards Ray on this, but I also think you can control how likely a guy is to get targeted by where he lines up and when, right? So it's entirely possible that without any specific cooperation from Garoppolo, Shanahan could have made it less likely that Ayuk got involved based on when he was in there. One thing that was weird about Shanahan's comments on it to me, it sounded like the way he talked about it sounded like he wasn't the guy deciding when Brandon Ayuk went in the game. Because he said something like, oh, well, you know, I hoped he'd get more targets and I was hoping he'd get some more punt returns, but, you know, we're okay with it or something like that. And they had punt returns, and he didn't get them. So I don't understand what he meant by that.
I think he was blowing smoke.
And what I think is that what I heard is him basically saying, like, you know, I don't care who gets the ball. The way I interpreted it was, I really don't care about getting Brandon Ayuk the ball. Like, that's what sounded a little weird to me. And if it was just happenstance football, he could have said that. He could have said, look, there's absolutely zero agenda for us as coaching staff against him. Sometimes football means you're covered and the quarterback doesn't throw to you. Like, he could have explained it away that removed any level of this feels personal to it. The more he explained it, the more personal it kind of felt. So until I have seen someone say, yes, Brandon Ayuk has missed the meeting, did do something that was out of pocket, because that's going to come out. I mean, you can't hide that forever this week, especially with everyone in a hotel talking to whoever. So this is something to monitor, to say the least, as we get ready to watch the 49ers take on the Philadelphia Eagles on Sunday. In the meantime, thanks very much to Alex Pavlovich for joining us today. Good stuff out of Lucas and Grandy Maldonado back in the studio. For Ray, for Matt, I'm Damon. Thank you very much for tuning in. JD and Covey coming up next on The Final Word. And please do remember that sports don't build character, they reveal it.
And like that, he's gone.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.